الله الرحمن الرحيم. حديث كل بني آدم خطاؤون. It's quite popular. All of us hear it. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, both of them had studied hadith in Delhi. Hadith, other kitabs, they had studied here, and maybe after that they studied something additional. But this was their primary education until they had completed. So en route to the madrasa, there used to be some pious person, like how we would say a majzub or something. And once Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh requested him for dua. So this person says to Mawlana that you are requesting me to make dua for you, whereas I see you deriving benefit directly from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh explained this once. Whilst I was studying, then the various students that were studying along, some had got themselves involved in trying to work out the sanads, speaking about every Ravi and reporter of the hadith. Someone got involved in the grammatical discussions. Someone got involved in the different statements of the different ulama pertaining to the hadith. But when I studied, then I used to wonder, what is the Bisan desirous of? He's spoken about something, what does he want? Say for example, it's a little cold and chilly, and your mother says, close the door. Right. So, you closed one door. The person that heard this command here, close the door, so he closed the door. Finished, end of the story. But the other person that understood what was the mansha of the mother, she wants a little bit of warmth, and she wants to protect herself against the cold. He will think, all right, where is the cold coming from? If the door is closed, then is the window also closed? And if the window is closed, is it closed and sealed correctly? If this door is closed, then are there other doors that are closed? Sometimes it happens in a hall, in a big home. You'll still feel cold, you'll still feel the cold if there are other doors that are opened. So now, the one that understands the mother's mansha, he will see that all these things are taken care of. And the one that just takes the words lightly, it's all right, I was told to close this door, so I close the door, end of the story. So he's not concerned beyond that. It says, when I studied hadith, then this is how I looked at hadith. What is Nabi Sam wanting from us? It's a chapter, and in this chapter, perhaps he's speaking about, say, taking permission before entering. Right? You enter someone's home, so you take permission before you enter. So what does he want? So now, if you understood that, then a lot of things will become easy for you. You'll find a solution to a lot of things. You think, all right, when the hadith is commanded, take permission before you enter, perhaps the mansha is that it may be that there are men or there are women that are sitting. Right? I'm asking permission, and from the passage that I'm going to come, or the entrance perhaps is from the lounge, and there may be a woman sitting there. Though it's my own home, my family has got her friends and they are discussing something. Now, if I don't take permission and I just enter into the house, I got the right to do it because it's my own home. But the fact that it is her friends that are sitting with her, then I haven't been considerate in that regards. Now, if I'm going to think, all right, this is what Nabi Sam is wanting from us, I'll be considerate. I won't just look at it from this perspective, well, it's my home, and when it's my home, then this law applies to the person that's entering someone else's home. إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ فَاسْتَأْنِسُوا. So it's not applicable to me, it's applicable to the one who's entering some other home. But now that person that understands the mansha, you understand, all right, it's applicable to the other, for what reason? The reason is that there must be no bepardagi, there mustn't be no behijabi. It mustn't be that we invade someone's privacy. Now the person is thinking, all right, this is one reason why I have been instructed. The other reason is perhaps, even if it is, say, my family that is sharing the house, or my mother that is sharing the house, or my sister that is sharing the house with me, and I just intrude, I just get in. And perhaps they are dressing at that time. They are undressing, and I've just intruded. When I've just intruded in this way, then it's going to bring some type of embarrassment. Even if it was my own child, my daughter, she was undressing. For example, she was milking her child, and I just entered. So won't there be some type of embarrassment that is caused? Now, if I came in, and at the time I came in, I thought about all these things here, right? One is they could have their own friends sitting and discussing. One is perhaps they may be undressing. One is maybe perhaps she's milking, right? If I enter into this, she'll bring about some embarrassment, some sort of embarrassment. And she'll feel uneasy. Next time, she'll feel uneasy. But now if she understands that my pattern is this, that I do make my presence known. So how calm she'll feel. She'll feel composed. See? So now this is for that person who tries and works out, all right, what was the need, what was the reason, why did he ask? So when he asks and he questions, then a lot of things open out to him. But if you don't ask yourself, right, then you will just do something and you may miss out the actual purpose, the actual reason you may miss out. And the reason is obvious that you didn't apply your mind. So in life, you need to correct yourself in about four different levels. The first level is your own personal self. That means when we said kullu bani adam khata'un, then you have also got some mistakes, some weaknesses, some flaws you've got. When you've got some flaws, then you must look for the flaw. Think about it. See, now look at the mansha. You see, you look at the mansha of Dadi. So you got the mansha. So you're looking for your flaw. If you don't look for your flaw, then will you correct yourself? If you're looking for your flaw, then you'll correct yourself. Otherwise, you'll have that attitude, I am right and everybody is wrong. But if you're looking for your flaws and mistakes, then you will find them. That is why when Allah speaks about Tawbah, He says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. They make Tawbah and rectify themselves. They make Tawbah and they make adjustments, they make corrections, they make amends. Repents and amends. Repent and amend. So if you look for the weakness, you'll find it. I slipped up here. I used the incorrect word here. It was a little bit harsh. I shouldn't have spoken like this. Right? I could have addressed this in a better, in a more civil manner. Right? Why did I have to use this word? So if you think, then you will arrive to the right solutions. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. See that islah, correction. We can talk about the wrongs of the world and forget ourselves. Right? And the other way is to first look at yourself and then correct yourself. And then the wrongs that are visible, you correct them. So you start off with yourself. It doesn't mean now that until you didn't get yourself right, you won't correct others. Now that's an extreme. See, extremism is not right. You'll keep talking about it, but you will have a greater focus on yourself. My mistake. That's my mistake. I need to correct myself. I can see a problem here. Where's the problem started off from? So I said, now you start off with yourself, your own home, for example. You saw, for example, someone is using some vulgar language in the home, right? So it's easy to say, hey, what's wrong with these children? What's wrong with this woman? They're not even correcting their children. Where are they picking up these vulgar languages? So it's easy to just shift the blame onto the woman, shift the blame onto the school, shift the blame onto the friends they have got. It's easy. But to think now, you know, they're using these vulgar languages, they're using some abusive, derogatory statements they're making. Perhaps at some occasion I did mention something. And when I mentioned something, they picked it up. When they picked it up, now they're imitating what they heard. So that means I am also to be blamed. Now, let me go and correct myself. One person came with his child to one saintly person. Make dua, uske liye dua karo. Ye gur bahut khata hai. He eats a lot of sugar. Too much sugar, dangerous, right? So make dua for this child. So the buzurg said, "Tum kal ko aana, come tomorrow." So the person brought the child the next day. And now the buzurg advises, "Bhai, tum gur mat khao, achhi cheez nahi hai. Zyada gur mat khao, don't eat too much. Little bit, it's all right. But don't eat more. Little more," he showed, "maybe 2 spoons, 3 spoons, eat that, it's enough. Don't eat more than that." So someone that was sitting there, this is also important, you see, when you sit by a buzurg, and sit with an open mind, an open, clear mind, that you learn. Now you're not sitting with an open mind, then how are you going to learn? How are you going to benefit? You must sit with an open, clear mind. And the more open you are, the more you'll benefit. But now you sit with a restricted mind, or you sit with the mind that I'm right, everybody's wrong, you don't have a benefit. So this person that was sitting there, so he asked, "But you know, you could have given this advice yesterday. Why did you postpone it for today?" He says, "I had the problem myself. I was fond of guru too much. I was too much, too fond of guru. So if I'm doing it, then my words are not going to have any effect on this person yet. So I had to resolve not to eat it myself first. Say, it's not right, I mustn't eat. So I resolved that I won't eat it. Now, after I resolved and after I had promised myself that I'm not going to eat, now when I advise this child, now see, straight away left it out. So you see, kullu bani adam khata'u. Everybody is wrong. Everybody is wrong. So look for your wrong and you'll find it. Look for how to correct. A lot of wrongs you can't correct yourself. Say, no, I got a problem, I smoke. Leave it out. Now that you can correct yourself. Can't you correct yourself? It's a matter of resolve. Now the sheikh must come and correct you. See, having 20 cigarettes, have one cigarette. One cigarette half, from half to one stumpy. And then eventually you leave it out. Yeah. Right. So now some things you can correct yourself. There you don't need other buzurg to come and tell you, or right, do this. Unless now you're so thick now that he has to also correct you. Right. From here, do this. That is for that person who is very thick. You get this example also in our Shaykh's lives. You're talking to someone, then they have to explain to him, or do it like this. But these are simple things that you're supposed to be doing yourself. Like you go to a sugar specialist, and he says, "Oh, you're eating too much of chocolates, you better cut it out." So now, you don't expect him to say, "All right, you know, you're eating 10 chocolates and make it 5. From 5, bring it to 2. He don't want to give you all that. He's just going to leave this thing out. This is not the right thing for you to take. He don't want to tell you, step by step, this is how you go. Because that is not his department. His department is just to show you what is harmful, what is beneficial. So, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَعْبُوا أَصْلَحُ. See that? So you start off from yourself. Now, Sometimes we don't understand this concept. When you don't understand the concept, is any wrong in the world, meragoda. So now you don't understand the concept and you're just seeing it, making a fleeting statement, so you don't know the connection. When you don't know the connection, now you're not bringing about any correction, no direction. So understand the word in context. When the problem started in Mazahir al-Ulum, 1935-40, right? Major riot took place. For a month or so, the madrasa had to be closed, then it opened and all that. But the Shaykh Ramadan says that, I think that it was my fault, it was my mistake that this thing took place. See that, introspecting. See this introspection, that's important. Now you see a problem in the home, do you ever think that perhaps this is my problem? You see a problem in the madrasa, do you ever think that it's my problem? It's easy, you push the blame onto someone else, it's very easy. He's responsible, I'm responsible. That's what you're saying. But to assume responsibility, no, I am also responsible for this mistake, this mishap, I'm also to be blamed. That's important. That's called a man. So the Shaykh Ramadan says that, no, I think that the cause of this thing here is myself. Where the Shaykh is, the Qutb of the time, what a great person. The whole world is flocking to him. Arab, Ajab, everybody is looking towards him. And when there's a problem, then he says, no, I feel that this is my problem. It's caused because of me. Then he explained himself. He says, you see, when we could just see now some signs that there's going to be a problem. See, you know, when there's a problem going to break out, then you can see, all right, in one month's time, 2 months' time, there'll be some problem. You can already see, you can sense it. So when we send something and someone brought it up as a discussion, so it came out of my mouth that it can't be my children. My class, it can't be. Because, see, this final year children, more or less I'm in charge of them. When I'm in charge of them, then they can't be, I know they can't be so notorious, right? And added to that, from the beginning of the year, I'm speaking to them about tarbiyat, islah, correction, etc. So when I'm impressing so much upon all this, so they can't be the culprits, they can't be the victims. See? So perhaps Allah Pak didn't like the statement, can't be my children. Me, you see this me, can't be mine. Allah Pak didn't like the statement. Allah Pak brought it out that this was the very catalyst. He was the instigator, the one that I thought that wouldn't be the problem. He became the instigator. See where it started. So he says, So now, to look at it, on the one side, the Shaykh would have tried to calm things off, right? Speak to the people and stop the riot. But it didn't stop him from investigating where he went wrong, from introspecting where the thing went wrong. See that? Now that's called the balance. That's called the man. That's called perfection. See, we recite Subhanallah, right? That's why I say that we don't check. We don't check our weaknesses, our problems, we don't check. So we hear about the merit, about the reward of Subhanallah. Right? It fills up the scales or fills up half the scale. We understand all this thing. Yeah. But then did we think now what Subhanallah contains, what it is? So all we have learned, paaki bayan karta hu khuda taala ki, I'm speaking about the purity of Allah Ta'ala. So now the average person doesn't understand what you're talking about when you're saying, I speak about the purity of Allah Ta'ala. If I say you paaki bayan karta hu khuda taala ki, do you understand what's going on? You don't understand. That means you've got a weakness. And when you got the weakness, did you think of rectifying the weakness? Did you think of rectifying the weakness? So you can say that, no, well, that's what the Ustad told me. And you cut it off there, as though the whole problem was the Ustad's. So you don't want to assume any responsibility. Perhaps on the Ustad's side, he gave you this brief explanation because he's got time constraints. When he's got kind of time constraints, he can just explain according to the time that he's got. Right? Beyond the time, he can't manage. But then it was your duty to find out when the Subhanallah is so often repeated, namaz, out of namaz, after namaz, then what is it saying? So now then you'll come to the conclusion, right? Subhanallah means you are showing, you are expressing, you are declaring. You're declaring that Allah Ta'ala is pure and free from all weaknesses. Every human being, every creation has a weakness, some weakness or the other. Right? And the fact that he is not eternal is a weakness, isn't it? The fact that no thing or no person is eternal, isn't that a weakness? So Allah Ta'ala is beyond all weaknesses. Right? So in that also you understand that there are two type of attributes, right? One is an attribute that is evil in itself, wrong in itself. And one is that which is praiseworthy. One that is praiseworthy, commendable. So I'd rather say one that is commendable and the other that is lamentable. Right? One that is commendable and one that is lamentable. So in the attributes that are commendable, then there is no flaw. We're not talking about lamentable. Lamentable, that's not attributes, that's weaknesses. Right? Say, all right, Allah Pak doesn't eat. Isn't that a weakness? No. That is not a commendable attribute. It's not a commendable attribute. So when it's not a commendable attribute, then you cannot say that he's got a weakness. See, in those things that amount to commendable, praise, etc., then in that Allah Pak has got no flaws, no weaknesses at all. Right. Now the picture is clear. So a lot of things can open up now. When you said he's pure, then you said, all right, see, for me to run my life, then I need people to be on my side. Right? As a human being, then I need a wife, right? To be on my side, to give me support, etc. Allah Pak doesn't require that. Right? For me to be managing, etc., there are any friends, any children to encourage me, to support me, to help me, right? Allah Pak doesn't. قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ. So he's pure. You see that you explain the purity. The aspect of purity is coming out clear in this way. So the one aspect of purity is coming out in the fact that he doesn't have any partnership. Right? Now, then you may ask, all right, to have a child, and why is that lamentable, not commendable? Right? Why is it lamentable? Why is it a weakness? Why is it not? So when you talk about a child, then you're talking about, you're alluding towards a beastly quality, right? To get a child, it shows that you are in need. In need of what? In need of a partner. Isn't it? To have a child, it means you are in need of a partner. So Allah Ta'ala can't be in need. If you say he's in need, then he can't be Allah Ta'ala. He must see to everybody's needs. He can't be needy himself. So when you're showing that he's got a partner, then na'uzubillah, he's got a child, then you're showing that he's got needs. When he's got needs, then he can't be God. Because God is one who sees to needs, and God is not one who is in need himself, number one. Then you said he's got no partner, right? No wife he's got. So you see, that's not a commendable quality, it's a lamentable quality. Why? So in order to have a child, right, then you have to reduce yourself to the level of a beast. Right? Beastly quality has to come out for you to have a child. Right? Right. So now, that beastly quality, are you reducing Allah Ta'ala or are you elevating him, talking about him as he is? You reduce him, you bring him to the level of a beast. Understand? So isn't that a lamentable thing? Isn't it something disgraceful? Isn't something serious? Eh? That was a human quality. I showed you the two weaknesses. It's in one thing, two weaknesses I showed you. So this is why he said, Subhanallah. Now you understand Subhanallah. So you understand the reason for Subhanallah, right? Now this is in this life, right? This is Subhanallah. Right. Now you're thinking of the life beyond. This is one life, and one is the life beyond. Now, you need to have examples before you for you to understand the Quran and the Hadith in perspective. So one person came here, so he's talking about his contemporary friend. We were schooling together from Anjuman School in Orient and then in university. So now he says that, see, this friend of mine, we studied right through from childhood. We did things together and a lot of things we were partners in sharing. But this friend of mine is very, very depressed. So the natural question that I would ask, that what makes him depressed? So he says that he's coming from an extremely wealthy background, right? So at the age of about 25, there wasn't a car that he was not driven. There wasn't a destination that he didn't have a holiday. There wasn't a type of food that he didn't eat, right? At the age of 25, right? Imagine, holiday destination, a car, money, woman, and all the pleasures that you can perceive, you can think of, he enjoyed everything. So when he's seen the limit of this world, and he saw there's nothing beyond, right? Because he's tried everything out. When he saw everything and nothing beyond, so that put him into a depression. Now he has to take antidepressants. So you understand a couple of good things here. One is that wealth is not a solution. Like we think it's a solution. See, the whole Western world is driving in this direction. Wealth, and that's the solution. Material security. It's taking in this direction, wealth, and that's the... If that was a solution, he would have been depressed. Now, talking of Subhanallah, and I brought this story in, right? How am I connecting it? So the connection is like this. Think to yourself, all right, you know what? Everything seems to have a limit here. Beyond the limit, now you get tired, frustrated. So then, how are you going to be enjoying an eternal life in Jannah? You're saying that everything has a full stop. Right? Ends up there, right? And then you're saying Jannah, and it's an eternal life. And an eternal life, and you say, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. You'll get all that you desire of. Whatever you desire, you'll get it. And so a lot of times you get this woman, or sometimes you get a man asking this question, that I got married to this widow. Now, will I get her in Jannah? Or the first husband will get her? What will happen now? Sometimes you get the woman asking, you know, I got married to this man here, then I got married to that one. But that first one I liked more. Second one, all right, it's all right. Chaldi ki naam gari. Chala kare. What does chala kare? But that one first one, hey, now. Now, the Muhaddithin has given a lot of explanation, right? Someone say that it's the last husband. Someone say that the one that was better towards the wife, so he will be the partner in Jannah, etc. So I know all this. Not that I don't know, but I give another answer. The answer I give, bhai, you first strive to get into Jannah, then you ask who you'll get. The way you're carrying on is like you got your ticket already, you're just waiting for a place. Now, where must go? Like that. First, you get your reservation in Jannah. Once you're there in Jannah, then you'll get all what you desire. See? You'll get all what you desire. Now, this answer can work everywhere. See? Because in this world, you will have no end to your thinking, right? You'll have no end to your thinking. Your thoughts will take you to one level, to the other level, 10 level, right? Now, say this Miss World, right? Miss World. And there's 100 people after them. And all 100 went to Jannah. Now, who's going to get Miss World? See? So now, Jannah is a different plane, right? The plane is such, the place is explain is such that what is not for you, you won't even desire for it. What is not for you, naturally you won't desire. Understand? Now, you get this radical, you know, radical, they ask all stupid questions. So this is an answer for a lot of people. And someone says, hey, but you know what, he's a gay now, and will this gay thing continue in Jannat? See that, they ask this type of question. So they all funny type of stupid questions they will ask. Everything that goes in their mind, they'll ask. So, now, a comprehensive answer for this type of thing is, first work for Jannat, you'll get everything. So now, if you talk about a gay connection, then how this is going to happen? It's going to happen like this. By, in this world, you know, when we were in India, so you had that was a Prime Minister of India, I can't remember his name now. First name, I can't remember the first name. Second name was Desai. Can't remember his name, the first word. When we were in India, 76. So he was the Prime Minister. So he would come on television and he would drink his urine. See, very, very pleasant, enjoyable, curative, etc. Right? So now when you enter into Jannat, right, with Jannat, your mind also becomes pure and clean. When your mind becomes pure, then impurities will naturally become disgusting. And impurities will be disgusting. So this is disgusting, right? It's number two. It's number two, your mind won't go there. It won't go into filth. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهْرًا. Even your partners, your wives will be pure, then how pure you will be? Even your partners will be pure, so can you imagine how pure your wives will be? You will be then. So you will only think of pure, clean things. So now again, we're talking of Subhanallah, right? We're to Jannah, right? Now how, what's the connection? The connection is this, see like here, when you have a life, right? You've got everything that you want, that brings depression. Now when you get tired in Jannah, you had the best food, best woman, best holiday destinations you had. So when you get tired? So Allah Pak says, no. Don't qiyasu shahid al ghaib, that's wrong. What? Qiyasu shahid al ghaib is wrong. Different creation has got a different system, right? You are a different creation, then your system works differently. He's a different creation, his system works differently. For a human being, for all animals to run, right, to run their lives, they need air, they need atmosphere, and they need air, right? They live. Put them into water, they can't live. Can they live? Can't. But for a fish, it requires the water for that thing to live. So Allah created his biology different, created you different. So you understand now, in different planes, the laws will differ. Here it's a different law. Jannah is a different law. So that's the meaning of Qiyasu Shahid al-Ghaib. It's an easy explanation for Qiyasu Shahid al-Ghaib. I was just looking at one bayan. So my mind works like this, right? My mind works that I want to bring everything to our level, to the normal public, right? So people in the past, they would like Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullahi's bayans. So Mufti Shafi Sabra, the reason for that was, it will be ilmi bayan, but in the language of the public. What? Ilmi bayan, but the language of the public. Now naturally my mind works like that. I want to talk, I want to relate to you. I want to talk to you. So my mind doesn't work out in a Bukhari Jalsa to speak about ilmi things. It just doesn't work. In a classroom it can work, but in a public address it doesn't work. So, you know, why don't talk about it? It doesn't work out there. Here it works out. So different people, their minds work differently. Your mind works differently, his mind. So you don't blame that person for what he is, and don't blame me for what I am. Your mind works differently, his mind works differently.
So now he's talking about qiyasu shahid al ghaib. It's wrong to compare this against that. The whole systems are different. His system is different, he's different. So as you enter into Jannat, la yabghuna anha hiwala. You don't want to change. You don't want to turn around. Just be there. You're enjoying that stuff for billion years. You still don't want to change. Because every day is a different day in Jannat. Every experience is a different experience. Today, this experience, tomorrow, another experience. So you can imagine that unlimited treasures of Allah Ta'ala. So that's Subhanallah. See, Subhanallah. Here, because it's confined, so our minds are restricted. And there it is unlimited. So the limited, you know, when they take out some new car, limited edition, right? So our minds become limited. We don't think beyond limits. We don't think beyond limits. So that Jannah, that plane is beyond limits. When it's beyond limits, then to compare this against that is not right. Now you've got the understanding of Qiyasu Shahid Alal Ghaib. It took me so long to explain. And then how I connected this to Subhanallah. So Subhanallah connects to this life, Subhanallah connects to that life. Now, will you ever ask yourself that question about, you know, who will get that woman in Jannat, and you know, won't you get tired of biryani and all that? You won't ask those questions. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتِيَنْفِ. Every day it's a different experience. Today is a different experience. Tomorrow is a different experience. Like you got to, just going to give some wild examples, right? So that wild example is an example. It's not supposed to be emulated, right? So you got a beautiful wife, right? So the first day. On 2 days, all right, you saw some things in her. So you were excited. The third day, she showed you, hey, you know, I can dance like an Indian woman. She showed you all that, you know, how the Indian dance and all that, right? Hey, this is a different dimension I do. I never seen this. Right? Right? The next week, she showed you a Zulu dance. No? Hey, never seen this. This is different now. See, the next week she showed you, hey, I can prepare this bribe myself. Hey, you know, you sure you're a human being or you're a hoor? See that? So that will be Jannat. Jannat, that same thing, but the different perspectives, different dimensions, this dimension, that dimension, this dimension, this dimension. So you can see the unlimited dimensions that are in the treasure of Allah Ta'ala. You see that? That's why you say Subhanallah, unlimited. So this is the dalil for that Alhamdulillah. What? The Subhanallah is a dalil for Alhamdulillah. Because every perfection belongs to Allah. When I said Subhanallah means every perfection, right? Then definitely he is worthy of all praise. You can't be anybody else. Everybody else, a certain point, cut off. Certain point, cut off. Allah Pak carries on and on and on. لا يبغون عنها حولا لا يمسهم فيها نصب ونزعنا ما في صدورهم من غل. Right? Like you see قياس الشاهد الغائب. Here, I had a run-in with you, right? When I got a run-in with you now, I can't have a nice, decent relationship with you. I can't talk to you so friendly. Why I had a run-in with you? You told me some things and I told you something. Now, we have an easy, smooth, enjoyable relationship with you now. It takes time. To repair that thing, it takes a lot of time. To what it was originally, right? And I had a run-in now. Now, I can't talk to you so nicely. Because when I talk to you, I think of, hey, yeah, but you know, this is what you told me. And you will think, oh, this is what I told you. So can you have a smooth relationship? So now you think, hey, but Jannat now, and you need to have a smooth relationship. You can't have all baggages. You've got baggages, then Jannat not Jannat. Will Jannat be Jannat if there's baggages? I see, yeah, but you know, this person, he did this to me. Now, if I have that baggages in Jannat, can I enjoy Jannat? I can't enjoy Jannat. So Allah understands this. See, when he understands this, so he will get you right before. You know, I said, he'll purify you.
وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ.
All that ghil and those malice and ill feelings that you had in this life, Allah Ta'ala will clear it out. So Ali had a ikhtilaf with perhaps Hazrat Zubair or Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu, right? He says, we, as we are getting into Jannat, will drink of that stream. And as we drink of that stream, all that malice will be out, finish, and be crossing. Yeah, we had a heavy ikhtilaf, right? It led to a war. Right. But then, before we enter into Jannat, Allah Pak will clean that thing out. Now, to understand this, to appreciate this, how Allah Pak will do it, how will it happen? Hey, but you know, what a heavy ikhtilaf we had. Unforgettable. So, Hazrat Ji, look at Hazrat Ji from your statement, and you understand this thing here. He says, ja, bachche ko dekho, unka seena bekina. Look at small children, their hearts are freed of malice, no ill feeling. Don't you see now? That's how they're fighting it out. And again, they're playing. Don't you see? They're having it out, they're fighting, somebody is punching that one. Doesn't happen. It happens or doesn't. Teasing him, he's teasing that one there, they're having it out. Ding dong. And then again, bring it out. Unka seena, bekina. Their hearts are free. See, so that's a Jannat reflection. That reflection of Jannat, you see that. One is they got no kina, right? And number two, these children, small little children, they've got no pride and arrogance as well. Now what is the dalil that they got no pride? Now, the mother, right, she saw the child was messed up. So she gave him a bath, put new clothes. And the makeup of the child can't be without Johnson's baby powder. They must, I don't know what these aunties they do this. Johnson's baby powder. Oh, let's put that thing. Right. Where they got the John? John is supposed to be the kitchen, the garden boy. They put him with the... So anyway, right, she clean him up. Hey, my darling, she's kissing the child, all that. Right. In 2 months, leave him out. And someone gave him a chocolate. The whole thing is, head is messed up. Kurta is messed up. I just clean up just now. What are you doing? So it's an indication that they don't have any pride. They don't think anything about them. I don't say now, go and mess your clothing now. But it's an indication that they don't think much. They don't think anything about themselves. If for the child to wear that type of clothing, 3 years of age, he doesn't feel anything about it, wearing that clothing and appearing in public. But you, a small dot here in a kurta, how do you feel amongst people? See, subhanak. So as you enter into Jannat, no kina. See that? No kina. So now, you're seeing a person like you had seen him the first time. When you've seen the person the first time, was there any kina? No kina, he's gone, finished. Now that is the exact meaning of subhanak. How Allah Pak is going to do it, Allah Pak knows, but he's going to do it. Yeah, our minds can't think, I had such a serious problem with this person here. Can we ever again sit at one table again? Can we sit in, can we be friends again? So that is Allah, subhanak. See. So it's beyond. So our minds are trained to make qiyas on the shahid, right? Our minds are working on the shahid, on the things that are visible, that we can see, even late. We can't work, our minds doesn't work on the things that are not before us, not tangible. Right? Tangible things, our minds work. Beyond that, doesn't work. So you see subhanak, how it works in this life. Subhanak, how it works in the next life. Subhanak in this life. Subhanak in the next life. Also brings you to an understanding that some things you cannot see. But if you cannot see it, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You can't see it. But your not being able to perceive it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Again, subhanak, you see. If you see that if I cannot see it, I cannot perceive it, that means there is no existence, then I ask you a simple question, all right. What do you think about this person? Is he a understanding person here? Why? So, no, his brain is working well. Right. So then I ask you, all right, his brain is working well. Where is his brain? Show me. Can you show me the brain? But just now you said that his brain is working well. Right? So then I ask you, where's the brain? Right. Then. So the design of this world, see, from this again you understand Subhanallah. I'm sure Subhanallah in this world, Subhanallah in this, Subhanallah in yourself. So, the nucleus of all things, Allah Ta'ala has concealed. What? The nucleus of all your activity is your brain, right? Isn't it? That's the nucleus of all activity. Your brain said, all right, today I need to go to Umrah, right? The brain said, the thought came. What happened after that? The whole body goes into operation. Go get your ticket, go get your visa, get money, finance, book hotel, all that goes after that, isn't it? But first step on this path was your brain. So that was the nucleus. That was the nucleus, that thing activated the whole body. Right? Right? So now you see that the nucleus of everything, Allah Ta'ala has kept it concealed. Right? Now again, now look at this whole thing again, right? You did what you wanted. Hey, I feel very happy, satisfied, I did it. So I ask you now, you did it, all right? First, that inspiration came to your mind. You couldn't see it. After completing it, then you felt a feeling of satisfaction, fulfilled. So I ask you, where's the satisfaction? Where is it? Can you show it to me? So you see the nucleus of all things, Allah kept it away. You can't see it. Right. Again, look at it. Again, look at it from a different... You know, one friend of mine was in hospital, you see. Doctor... In fact, the psychiatrist he was, right? So, some member of his, he wasn't sick, he, some member of his family was serious. And that person passed away. So I went to visit him. So I asked him, Doctor, I want to know one question from you, one thing. Psychiatrists now, they do all brain things, right? So I want to ask you, can you show me life? He thought for a moment, and then he says, yes, the signs of life you can see, but life itself you can't show. He thought, a good answer, the signs of life you can show, but life you can't show. So then I said, the same will apply to death. The signs of death you can show, but death can you show? But life is the nucleus of all activity, all enjoyment, and all the color and the fun, the excitement, the beauty that's there. What's the nucleus? Life. If there's no life, can there be any excitement? Can there be any excitement without life? So the nucleus of everything Allah Ta'ala has kept concealed. Everything, right? Of life concealed again. Death concealed. Right. Now, person is asleep, right? Hard day's work, he had a good sleep. Now he got up, so he's feeling so fresh. You ask the person, show me what is sleep. Can you explain? Give me a logical explanation. So you see the nucleus of everything Allah Pak has kept concealed. So he's designed it in this way. Why he designed it in this way? وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ Things that relate to your whole animal self, you can't see it, you can't understand it, then the nucleus of all nucleus, how are you going to see it in this world? The nucleus of all the nucleus, how are you going to see it in this world? When within yourself, you can't see yourself. Understand? Subhanaka again, right? See that? So in Jannat, you will see the nucleus of all things. Now, the who you got, right? She's got love for you. And you can actually see the love in the heart that she's got for you. You can actually see it. Okay, here can you see it? She can show you, I know I like you, this, that, and all that. But can you see that? You can see the signs. But can you see love itself? Can't see it. Now, that's Jannat. Subhanaka again. See this? See? So the nucleus of all things, Allah Pak has kept it away for you to understand that there is an Allah Ta'ala, but this world doesn't have the capacity for you to see Allah Ta'ala. Doesn't have the capacity. Otherwise, what can stop you from seeing Allah Ta'ala? Nothing can stop you. See that? Subhanak. Huh? See the Subhanak now. And we didn't understand this word here. We're just going through it. Just going through it. Subhanak. But you see how great this word is. Here you can't see death. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will bring death in the form of a black and white sheep, and He will slaughter it. So death will have a physical appearance. Here has it got an appearance, existence. Yeah, no. There it will have an appearance. Allah Ta'ala will slaughter it. Ya Ahl al-Jannah, al-Khulud, people of Jannah, you're living for, you know, no end to the excitement. Hey, cheers. I will congratulate. Jannah is entering into Jannah. They're actually rubbing shoulders, you know, all rushing it. I'm thinking of the Haram Sharif, you know, at peak time. You're rubbing shoulders. Hey, forget others, I must get a place near the Mataf, right? Don't you think that? Rubbing shoulders, not getting there. So all are rubbing shoulders and getting into Jannah. And Ya Ahl al-Nar Khulud, Jahannam is also you living there eternally. Can you imagine the extent of the agony, grief and pain? Extent of the happiness side. So, but you see that what is not tangible here is tangible there. What is not visible here becomes visible there. It's a reality. And I showed you now, brains, you see, right? And it's we believe that there is a thing like brain. Why? Because you see his work, right? There is some consistent pattern. Right? There is some understanding in what he's doing, right? So you say he's an understanding person. Don't you see that? Why? There's a consistency. Right? So that's a reflection of the brain. But the brain itself, you can't see it. But the signs of the brain, you can see. Right? So the same, again, apply the same law to Allah Ta'ala. The signs of Allah Ta'ala are there. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ But use the same analogy. If you're not going to use that analogy, right, you're not going to use that analogy, and you're going to become biased, then what's going to happen? Your mind is going to run after the series or the sequence of creation. What? Your mind is going to run after the sequence of creation, how the creation started off. That's how your mind is going to run. Because that's natural. You want to know now how it started off. And you don't believe in a creator. When you don't believe in a creator, then your mind is going to run in the sequence of creation. Now, then you'll have one of two persons. One person is biased. The one that is biased, the moment you talk to him about Allah, he's cutting it off. You talk to him about Allah, he's cutting it off. See, so he's biased. Right. And the other one, so one person, when you talk about Allah, so he's cutting it off. So when he's cutting it off now, then his mind will still work, all right, then I need to find some type of appeasement and fulfillment to my mind. Then his mind is going to speculate. What's going to happen? He's going to speculate. All right, this may be how it happened. That's how. So in the past also you had this, someone saying monkey and donkey and whatever they're saying, right? And this day also. But now, see how the mind works. See, I showed you a biased mind. and how the biased mind works. So when you talk of Allah Ta'ala, وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ شْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. See how apt this ayat is, how beautiful, how precise. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ شْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. کہ رونگٹے کھڑے ہو جاتے ہیں. اشمعزت قلوب الذین لا یؤمنون بالآخر. Minds are frantic, you know. How you say frantic? وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشمعزت. So you see this group here who doesn't want to believe in an Allah Ta'ala, doesn't want to believe in the hereafter. So when they hear about Allah Ta'ala, then they become frantic. Hey, discuss this topic. Don't talk to them about this. They don't want to talk about Akhirah. They don't talk to about Allah Ta'ala. So they have sealed their minds. That means they are one lopsided. One side they have sealed off. But now they can't do away with the fact that the mind is questioning or how this thing started off. Right. So now the mind is going to go speculate. All right, this. Right. So the mind is speculating, running around everywhere. Okay. When the mind is going to run around, it needs to stop at some point. But it's running. It'll exhaust itself, searching, without any closure, without any. What's going to happen? It will exhaust itself. What did it exhaust itself? So then, how to end the exhaustion? To latch onto something. You're not going to latch onto something. It'll keep searching, and you will be an embarrassment for people, for scientists and all. You'll be an embarrassment. You're looking so long, but you haven't brought about any solution to this mystery. So you'll become an embarrassment to these researchers, to these educationists, you'll become an embarrassment. So they had to latch onto something. Right. So when they had to latch onto something, then they came onto this evolution theory, all this thing. Right. So now that, then when they worked on that, right? So that which was a speculation, right, it was just a speculation, they put so much of emphasis on, this is it. So as though initially it was just a speculation. And when they showed so much of attention to it, now from that speculation now, they are, what's that word in English to say? You know, something is not there, but you make it appear. Hallucination. From speculation to hallucination. Doesn't it happen? Does it happen or doesn't it? Man was normal, right? I say, hey, you got a jinnat. Keep thinking, hey, yeah, jinnat. Night time, one light just got switched on. Yeah, I got a jinnat. See that one? So from speculation, it came to hallucination. So sometimes I think these people are mazur. Really, they are mazur, invalid. Because their minds took them from speculation to hallucination. So they're a little bit mad, a little bit crunk, right? A little bit off. Because if you ask them, logically, if you ask, a minuscule reflection of the glory of Allah, just put a painting on a wall, right? Or a house with a garden, well-kept home, trees are nicely trimmed, grass and turf and all that, everything, you know, small swimming pool, whatever else, right? So, if you ask anybody, who did this? You'll ask, what they will ask, who did this? And if anybody comes up, it just came like that, evolution. Just came up like that. Is he prepared to buy the story? It just came up. A small little art there, you're not prepared to accept that it came of its own, this beautiful universe with all the millions of designs in it. How can it be possible that it just came? How can it ever be possible? So like I said, you know that science will show that the man got brains. Science will show the existence of a creator. لَآيَاتِ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. All the signs will show that there's a real existence. But then for you to come to that end, you need to think. And for your thought to be right, you need to be unbiased. When you'll be unbiased, then you'll think. And if you're not, then you're going to go on this idea. Then you're going to speculate. From speculation, you're going to come to hallucination, and you'll be half mad. You stop there now. Madman, now he can't think beyond that. He's doing all, a lot of things he's doing, but he's mad. Now you say he's a write-off. Don't you say he's a write-off? He's a write-off. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْتَمْأَزَّتْ. That's why Allah says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. In Urdu, they gave the translation too good. Allah Ta'ala, he says, ظَالِمُ كُو رَاسْتَ اِنِي دِخَتَ. رَاه نَي بِتَتَ. He doesn't show them. The mind is gone off. For you to see the right, your mind needs to be right. For you to be able to see right, you need, your eyes must be right. For you to be able to think right, your mind must be right. But Allah didn't allow their minds to go right. Can they see right? I ask you. Can they ever see things in perspective? Can they? See, Subhanaka, Subhanaka. Allah Bhaktofi.